Good morning. Welcome to the May episode of Radio Wild. My name is Alan Lacey, and together with my co-host, Chris Anderson, we sit down and talk about the intersection of ecology and enterprise. We're excited to have Chad Brown, founder of Soul River Inc., on the show this morning.
I first met Chad upon reading about a local Portland entrepreneur who's making a difference in the lives of inner-city youth and veterans. It's been exciting to see how he has built his organization over the past several years into what it is today, even recently being recognized by some Oregon senators for his significant contributions to helping to heal those overcoming PTSD and other trauma. But how does this relate to wildlife? Listen to today's show to find out more. But first, I want to talk briefly about some of our exciting events coming up. Visit wolfcenter.org for details about two exciting family events focusing on subjects ranging from bears to raptors. Join us on May 14th in Pasco, Washington for Wonders of Wildlife, where we'll be joined by Yakima Basin Environmental Education Program, Western Wildlife Outreach, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Snowden Wildlife Sanctuary, and our very own Jeremy Heft.
Join us in June for the Wolf Camp Summer Celebration, featuring many experts in the field of ecology and wildlife rehabilitation and keynoted by award-winning bear ecologist Chris Morgan. He's also a host of PBS Nature and the soon-to-be-released feature film Bear Trek. Chris and I think you are particularly going to enjoy today's program. We sat down with Chad Brown this morning and talked about his company, Soul River Runs Deep, and his nonprofit, Soul River Inc. You definitely want to stop what you are doing and listen to what he is doing. It's simply awesome.
Chad Brown, it's great to sit with you today. And I think that the first question that many of our listeners would have is, what exactly is Soul River Runs Deep?
Thank you very much for having me here. It's really cool to be able to be part of this. The answer to the question is, Soul River Runs Deep is the for-profit of the nonprofit arm, which is Soul River Inc. Soul River Runs Deep is the retail arm, which I use to sell various products that's relating to fly fishing and lifestyle. And everything I sell, I get 15% into my nonprofit. And my nonprofit is Soul River Inc. And that nonprofit takes that 15%, and then also it's also in partnership with various other companies and government agencies as well. That tends to take in grants and other monies, basically, to help bring inner city kids and U.S. veterans together on deployment trips into the outdoors, exploring our public lands, our fresh waters, and learning about different species in our waters, and also learning to grow. Well, the goal is to grow the inner city kid into an outdoor ambassador of outdoors.
Yeah. Nice. To me, it's a really awesome program. I mean, if I was, you know, a lot younger as a child, I think this would be something huge that I would love to get involved with, actually. And something that I think a lot of people would really like to know is, what inspired you to start a company like this? Maybe there's other people out there that would be interested in something similar. What gave you that instant decision to go for this?
You know, my what inspired me? I think, I'm not sure the right word is an inspiration. I think it's kind of circumstance that I found myself in a place, in a point in my life where I was dealing with my issues with PTSD from the military, from the war, and now I'm having to fight this battle, and this battle has led me through the VA, and I have went down that route with a lot of medications, where the medication really wasn't working with me, and at that time, a friend introduced me to fly fishing, and fly fishing became my passion, my joy, my medicine. And I went back to the VA and talked with the medical guys there, and they basically gave me like a prescription to fish more, and and, you know, and then continue with therapy, one-on-one therapy. And so that's what I did, and fly fishing became my passion, and eventually it became my mission to want to basically bring these worlds together, because I'm from the inner city world. That's when I was brought up, and I'm also a veteran. And I kind of made this conscious decision where, you know what, veterans does do really good role models and leadership for inner city kids, and kids has the opportunity to get that. And then in exchange, that veteran has an opportunity to, get a purpose to live, basically, you know, and put those worlds together. And it's, so I think it's just more circumstance that I was in, and I just saw something that how I can make a connection, make a difference of getting back into our working world. And that's how the nonprofit came about. And yeah, and using fly fishing as my way of mending these two worlds together and bringing, you know, bringing healing amongst each other, basically, you know, like an iron sharpening iron type of deal.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Chad, you mentioned you have an urban inner city background, and I'm curious, just listening to you and having listened to you speak before, when did the motivation or inspiration for Soul River Inc. start? Did it start from childhood memories or experiences, or did it stem out of your military experiences?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think to today, you know, it's a combination of both, basically. You know, from my childhood, I was pretty much in that whole broken home inner city, and I was kind of brought up with big brothers and big sisters, you know, a lot of different role models, et cetera, that helped me shape my life. And the military added a different aspect to that, you know, which was, you know, serving the country, our country, basically, and also acting as leaders in our own right, you know, even as a veteran, to help with the community. And so I brought those worlds together. And, you know, I think I don't know if I'm answering your question correctly.
No, you are.
Oh, okay. And so that's really kind of like the whole connecting piece of making that work. You know? Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to editorialize too much because this is your story, but I think that a lot of the framework for what we choose as adults, you know, does come from out of our childhood or our relationship with our own parents or lack of parents. And I have been curious to ask you that question for a long time. So thanks for just adding dimension.
Sure.
So now, as you're working with Soul Reverence Deep and you're working with other veterans or inner city youth, how does that relationship work for them? I mean, what do you provide for veterans and for inner city youth to be able to kind of experience the same thing you have?
You know, it's a good question. And I think every day and every month that goes by, especially with the nonprofit, it's like I'm learning and growing, and I'm starting to be able to reflect a little bit more about what I'm actually doing, you know. And what I'm doing is I'm providing a learning experience in green spaces, basically. And I've been very fortunate and blessed to be able to align myself with awesome corporate partners, also nonprofit partners in government, that has given me an opportunity to be able to create these kind of green learning spaces, safe spaces, mm-hmm. in the environment where a veteran can be themselves, you know, and not have to be on guard, and where that kid can be themselves and not have to be on guard, mm-hmm. you know, and they come together and they start to learn amongst each other, you know. But what's interesting is that in these green safe spaces, it's so space and it's so medicinal, is that you start to see the kid teaching the vet, basically, you know. And you think it's the other way around, but what you start to see is that kid actually teaching that vet, you know. And that teaching is not like teaching as something that you would see in school. It's more teaching, kind of like reteaching that soul, basically, of that vet, because that veteran's soul is broken. And that veteran is starting to get that strength of acknowledgement, like, you see me. Basically, you know,
yeah.
You know, and the kids give no judgment, and they're actually looking for that leadership. So automatically, by default, that vet is thrown into a default position of leadership, acknowledgement, and purpose. Here.
Yeah, I love how you say, you know, you're creating a safe green space for them, and I was wondering if you could maybe touch a little more on creating that safe space. What's important, you know, when you work with these people about creating that? Why is a safe place so important?
You know, it's a safe space is important. You know, it gives the opportunity for veterans and youth to basically be themselves. We're so much on guard in our own societies, in our own communities, you know, even from a kid standpoint and a veteran standpoint. You know, you're getting judged left and right when you get out the door, you know. You're getting looked at differently, or a veteran could be hurting, you know, mm-hmm. suffering.
Yeah.
And that suffering can resonate to someone else. Oh, don't touch that person. Stay away, you know. Mm-hmm. And so with all those differences and challenges that a vet and a kid face in these green spaces, we eliminate that. That's the goal, is to eliminate all that into where there's no judgment. There's open equalness to where we can see each other. We can acknowledge each other, you know. And that's kind of like the starting piece. And then the rest of that piece is just the magic of nature. You know, I mean, it really is. I mean, anybody who's been in an outdoor, especially the longer you stay, you know, if you're going to do like 1 or 2 days, okay. But if you're out there for a week and with the group, you start to see a different change of dynamics automatically, you know. And a lot of that, you know, people change and their differences starts to fall off and they become something else. And nature has its way of working within each person, and then you start to realize at the end of that week that you're probably done with that person, you know, everything like that, you know, because it opens up many different differences, you know.
Yeah.
And we used to say in the military, it's like you never know, you know, you never know someone until you actually go out on a real operation, you know. You can train and train and train, but when you go into a real operation situation, that's when you really start to know who you're with, you know. And because it's the same thing. It happens with soldiers. You can be very trained, and you go out there, things change according to the condition and environment that you're in, especially the longer you stay. And it's the same thing when you are, you know, just simple doing these deployments with the nonprofit. You bring these vets out, you bring these youth out, things change, you know. And so when things change, it's not always it's not always perfect. And especially what I'm doing is I'm serving two really interesting, delicate demographics here,
yeah.
You know. And so when we create these spaces and everything, there's work that has to be put in and also applied patience, because as things are changing within nature, sometimes there's resistance that's happening with that process, you know. And it's not about you, it's about what they're going through, which is a good thing, but the work comes in being able to navigate and work with them as they're going through that process, you know. That's the challenging piece, you know.
Yeah.
It really is. That's the challenging piece, you know. But yeah, it's a pretty, nature has a way of healing, you know, but the process, you got to go through that process in order to get that healing though, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Chad, as you talk today, the question comes to my mind, and it's of the more personal nature. As you know, you've been in the nonprofit world a while now. Personal testimony is a big part of what we do, the motivations, and we're talking about some of that. But you've touched on the medicinal value to the youth. You've touched on the medicinal value of the youth that you were at one point, of the veteran that you are. How is this changing you?
You know, I'm so much in the thick of it, though. Sometimes it's kind of, at the beginning, it was working for me, because the more I was seeing youth and vets working together and watching and being part of the journey and being part of the process, it would also was helping me with my process, mm-hmm. you know, all the time, you know. But then it gets to a point where the more I've been doing it, the more it's not because I've becoming jaded. It's kind of like this place where I'm consuming
mm-hmm.
more energy.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to call that, you know, but not having an outlet,
mm-hmm.
to expose that, you know.
Gotcha.
So it's like this sponge where I'm soaking up.
Right.
12 kids' processes and 12 kids' vets, you know, and I'm soaking up, but it's like I don't have that outlet to let that go, you know, because that can become a bad medicine for me,
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And stuff, you know. So I'm having to really stay really, really close to what makes me whole and heal by, number one, just, you know, always trying to, in my personal life, just always trying to not eat right, you know, stay in shape, fish, because that's what brings me joy,
right.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, all those things, I have to actually keep myself real on a regimen, basically, you know, to do those kind of things that's going to help me in my process. And as long as I do those things, the things that's happening with the nonprofit acts still as a good, awesome support medicine for myself, you know. And so it's kind of like I can't get myself lost in this whole process, you know, because the nonprofit is a good thing. It helps. It's great. But I also have to take care of myself behind the scenes and everything, you know. And that's kind of like what I do to help myself and what I see how it's helping me is it's as long as I stay responsible and continue to do what I need to do, the rewards of that medicinal piece that helps me is what happens with that nonprofit of changing lives.
Great
and,
stuff.
And vets.
Yeah, that's just great. I mean, you're teaching something that I think everyone needs to hear about, regardless of their background or who they're involved with. Arthur Brooks, a prominent, he's a bit of an economic theologist, if you will. He teaches that the most potent medicine that there is serving other people. And I think that we find that, you know, serving other people takes your mind off of your own struggles.
Right.
And so you're a living testament to that, and it's exciting to... It's exciting to hear your story.
Yeah.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
So when you're out in nature, you know, I haven't only fished but like once or twice in my life, so I haven't had that experience as much as you have. But what does that do for you? And more importantly, what is nature doing for the people you're working with and bringing out there?
When I'm out in nature, what it does for me, it keeps me grounded, basically. You know, it grounds me. It's my medicine, you know, that helps me build the process, what I went through that day. It's my medicine that helps me process what I'm about to go into the week or the month that I have planned. You know, it keeps me grounded. It's kind of like my church, basically, you know. And when I'm waiting in the water, you know, I used to call my mom, and my mom, you know, we were talking and everything. She asked me, like, where are you going? I'm about to go get baptized, you know. I'm always saying it really loosely and playing around. She said, boy, what are you talking about? I said, I'm about to go fishing, mom, you know. There's I'm going to wait in the water, you know. But it's interesting. Every time I do kind of feel like that's like what I'm doing all the time in a ritual, you know. It's I'm going back in the water and I'm standing in Mother Nature's theater, and I'm feeling the currents around me. There's energy. It's alive. It's running through my legs, and you know everything. And you know, and I'm kind of like right in tune with what's happening. You know, and my mind is clear. I'm focused, and you know, sometimes I will be able to hook in the fish, and sometimes I don't hook in the fish. But it's not about the fish that I'm chasing. It's something more of a higher purpose of what I'm going after, you know,
there's kind of a new term that's been kind of going on around lately in the last few years. I think it's called like ecotherapy, essentially. It's along those lines of using our ecosystems and our environment as a sense and form of therapy for our own selves to find a higher point of our own personal journey or whatever the case may be, our own locks. But have you seen that working in the people that you're working with, the veterans and stuff?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, that the ecotherapy, higher purpose, you know, it's not a quick fix type of thing from my experience of seeing these vets and these youth go through. Some of them struggle, and it's a process, especially when you're taking some of the inner city kids out that has never even been that much off the grid in the outdoors. And so what the reality and what we start to deal before we even get to that ecotherapy, we start to deal with, you know, with stuff,
mm-hmm.
energy that's been cooped up from the kid, their voice been blocked probably for ever since day one, since they came to the world, you know, and especially coming from a broken family or they coming from the foster care or whatever, you know, they don't have a voice. You know, you start to deal with neglect, right? You start to deal with physical abuse, verbal abuse, etc. All those kind of things. You know, it's like, you know, not to use it as a bad example, but it's like, you know, when someone is getting winged off of bad drugs or whatever, they go through that period of cold sweats and bad nightmares and all that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order to get to a cleaner mindset, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so each kid and each vet, when we're out there, that's kind of like what we have to deal with
mm-hmm.
first, you know?
Yeah.
And nature.
Like his own detox.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly. And then after that, that's when we start seeing that ecotherapy, you know, and how that works, basically. Some of the kids are able to get there on a deployment, you know, and some aren't. And the ones that aren't, it's still okay. They got some of the information, they got some of that experience, but they also have a little glimpse of an idea of what that's going to be. And so those are the ones that end up staying close with us. And then we reach back out. We have them come back on the deployments with us again, and we continue to move forward. You know, a lot of veterans gets it. They understand that,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of vets already been there,
yeah.
you know. And so it's not really about that vet getting to that place, but they do get to that place. But really, a lot of vets, I'm not going to say all of them, but some of the ones that do come out, that place for them is just getting acknowledgement that they
mm-hmm.
exist.
Oh, yeah.
Just that simple, you know, that simple. And that could be their ecotherapy as well. You know, once they get that acknowledgement, because you start seeing they're more stronger. You know, you got kids looking up to them, and they're acting as these leaders now.
Yeah.
Know? So they can't, you know, they can't let them down. They're there like big brother and big sister, you know. And so
it's kind of an accountability thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, but you know, when we do get through that process, the whole ecotherapy, yeah, that's I stand pretty strong behind that. I'm a believer in that. And I think all of us needs to be reminded in some kind of way and get through that process to understand what that feels like of having your feet in the grass, you know,
yeah.
and knowing what that feels like, you know. Yeah.
Are there one or two stories that stand out in your mind? I know you can't name names, but maybe there are some stories of healing that particularly touched you.
You know, there's one kid that came up to Alaska, and he was pretty hard, basically. He had a really hard background, come from the whole foster world, basically. And when we got into Alaska, he was a little scared. He actually pulled me over when I got the plane in Alaska, and he said, you know, are you going to protect me? And I said, well, what are you talking about? You know, and he said, I'm just feel a little scared, and, you know, I just want to make sure that you have my back. You know, and so I was like, yeah, I got your back. You know, you're around good people, you know, and you're going to have a good time. And so as we move forward, you know, he's willing to learn. And there was some, you know, some tug of war back and forth within himself and attitude and resistance and everything. And he started to learn really fast. And he started to take on the sport fly fishing really well.
Hmm.
And so one day I had an opportunity to dart up from the Kenai Peninsula up to Anchorage to teach some kids. And so I picked him and a couple other kids to come with me, basically act as leaders, you know. And so we got up there, started teaching the kids. And, you know, as we're teaching, I stepped back and he stepped up and picked up a rod and started teaching this little girl. You know, and I was like, wow, you know, and I was accompanied with a couple other vets, and so we were sitting there. I said, do you see what he's doing? And you know, and we were like really shocked, you know, and he was teaching his kid how to fish. And then they went out and tried what they learned for practice and tried on the river, and he cast out and hooked it on a salmon for his first time.
Wow.
Right? You know, and
as all
he was
kinds of like, affirmation.
Yeah, exactly. He hooked it on the salmon, but on top of that, he stopped and told that little girl to come over, and he hand that rod to the little girl.
That's
so
awesome.
That little girl can feel what it's like.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was like, we didn't teach him that. So, you know, that was all on him. And that was pretty amazing, you know. And it was pretty awesome, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of little stories, you know, that is, you know, all these kids that bring to the table and how they change. But that's something that did stand out. And it was pretty remarkable because you're seeing – this transition happened right there. You know, it's really cool, you know. And now you just step back and it was so funny. I came up to him and I said, you know, I said, congratulations, man. That's pretty awesome. And I said, how do you feel about teaching? He said, well, I don't mind teaching, but they don't listen to me. I just looked at him. I was like, okay. Now you see what we've been working with for like last year. So it was pretty funny. Yeah.
So the natural question coming out of that, you got a book in the works?
Yeah, I do have a book. Yeah, I'm not sure when that's going to come out, though, but I do have a book. I'm working with also a writer who's actually helping me. But yeah.
We'll be excited to see that.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, Chad, what kind of advice would you maybe have for people who are maybe facing these sort of situations, particularly pertaining to how they could get involved with what you've got going on?
We're all connected to the outdoors. I think a lot of us in our society today are heavily, heavily disconnected on so many different levels, you know. And we're pulled from technology, television, music, everything, you know, that's pulled us away to a point that we have forgotten about the most important medicine that we all need, and that's nature, you know. That's really important. And to the ones out there my condition is PTSD, et cetera, you know, but everybody else that goes out, everybody has a different condition. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's perfect, but whatever you're fighting with, whatever you're dealing with, nature does have a way of helping you through that process, you know, and not always we have to run straight to medications and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think my nonprofit is always open, looking for volunteers, and always looking for veterans, and always looking for youth. And those volunteers could be a mix of many different folks or walks of life, with many different backgrounds. And from a volunteer standpoint, it can also be their process as well, coming into the nonprofit and helping with the kid just as much as what they, as a veteran, would receive. They would probably receive the same kind of dose of medicine, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm constantly looking, and you can always find me online, you know. You can go to the website, and our season starts between June and it ends in November. After November, we put back up the applications, and the application, there's a veterans application, youth application, and a volunteer application. And that will go on all the way through November to all the way to April. Basically, we'll close it in late April and we'll be able to move forward. Yeah.
So, looking into the future, if this is something I wanted to get involved with, what projects do you have coming down the line or trips or things that you have in the works?
You know, the projects that we have coming down the line, we have like around six the project, but I would like to call them deployments. You know, and because that's what we do. We deploy into wild public lands and our wild rivers, basically, off the grid. And so we have a deployment going to the Owyhee Canyonlands. We have a deployment going to the Klickitat River. And we have one that's going to the Deschutes River, one that's going to Alaska, and then the biggest deployment we have going up to the Arctic Circle.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So you stay kind of locally here in the Northwest,
mm-hmm.
and then you have a couple of these. Are they bigger trips?
They're bigger trips, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, and I try, even though we're in Oregon, you know, we always want to support the Oregon, you know, arena, basically. But the nonprofit is about exploring many different wild public spaces, you know, green spaces. And so we're exploring Oregon, we are exploring Washington, and then we're going to be exploring Alaska, and then we're going to the Arctic, you know. What I'm trying to do is even potentially start pitching next year and going international as well.
That'd be
you
cool.
know, but yeah.
What's your targets for those?
South America, Patagonia.
Ooh, that would be awesome.
You know, I would love to be. You know, because you know, it's like part of our deployments is the whole travel piece, basically. You know, and there's a journey within that travel piece before you even get to your destination.
And a bonding.
Know? Yeah, big bonding.
All the
absolutely.
Trips I've ever taken, I have
absolutely.
Fond memories of all the bonding with
yeah,
people. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's kind of like really what I want to be able to establish and get these kids to go through and see it because, you know, you have kids that's coming from the inner city that if you don't intersect with their lives, the reality is that there's this term that they call it in the educational world is I think it's called like the pipeline to prison, basically, that I think it's like 60% of the kids that are inner city, basically, when they get to high school, they don't finish high school, but they have a high chance of going straight to prison.
Huh.
You know, I'm trying to intersect that, basically, and give these kids an opportunity to see, what's out there in the world, and hopefully they can be able to make the right choices in their lives to want to stand and become a typical, functional, positive, working citizen in our community, basically, you know. You know, and it's a hard process, you know, to try to do that because literally what I'm trying to do is change the family tree here, you know, and that's a hard thing to do, you know, and, you know, but I believe it's totally doable. It's a collective effort, you know, it really is a collective effort. And I tell people, I know it's doable because regardless of the background, but if you look at Eagle Scouts, you know, if anybody's familiar how an Eagle Scout, how a kid from Boy Scouts, Weeblos, et cetera, becomes an Eagle Scout, it's not just one person. That's a collective community that actually being able to raise that young boy into an Eagle Scout, you know.
That's a great point.
You know, and so to do what they're doing and to take his kid out of community is kind of trying to raise this kid into an Eagle Scout, basically, you know. You know, and it's a hard thing to do, but it's doable, you know. The Boy Scouts do it, you know, all the time, basically, you know, and we may not have the medals that the Boy Scouts get, you know, and anything like that, but, you know, if we have that ability, we do have the ability as leaders within Soul River Inc. To help step in and shape this kid's life in many different ways for them to become an Eagle Scout of a standing citizen, basically, and going off to school, getting their education, becoming, you know, awesome fathers, becoming our awesome mothers and leaders, et cetera, you know, but yeah.
And do you find that some kids may be apprehensive to spending a period of time in the wilderness, for example, or maybe actually kind of maybe go into more of the specifics of what a deployment is?
Yeah. A deployment is a term that I had pulled from the military, and it's, you know, we call them deployments. It's like going out on operational exercises, You know, and deployments can also be defined as an actual real deployment going into war, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, you self-sustain, you're with your team, unit, or battalion, and you're going into a certain area, and you are setting up operations, your, you know, base camp, et cetera, and you start to do your work there, basically. And so that's really an extreme. We're kind of like a downsized version, you know. And, you know, but I use the word deployments because I'm working with a lot of vets, you know, and they got that connection. They understand what that's about, basically, you know. And that deployment also relates to, since I'm using vets, they know that it's not just going out on a nice outing. It's like we're going out to work, and the work is to connect with kids.
So they get their get-out face on.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Exactly. You know, and so that's what that's all about. You know, we're self-sustained. We go into off-the-grid places. You know, vets are put in position to start the work and guide the kids. They learn from the kids. Mm-hmm. The kids learn from the vets. We use fly fishing as our base of learning and bringing these worlds together and building community. And we're injecting that with education of the outdoors, conservation, you know, reading, river reading, navigation, wilderness navigation, leadership training, basically. And all these kind of pieces that we are teaching, it's all between veterans and youth. And they're learning this together, you know, and so that's really what a deployment is, basically.
How long are they tend to be?
The deployments last from a weekend up to 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's almost like giving yourself a set of life tools.
It is. It really is. It really is. Life tools. And when you come back, you're coming back with life friendships, basically, you know. You know, in a past experience, you've seen youth are in friends, like, with the veterans. The veterans are acting like big brother, big sister, and it's all happening organic.
Yeah.
Well, Chad, this has been fascinating, and I only see one problem with the whole thing, and it's that every time I listen to you, I want to know more, I want to know how to get involved,
yeah.
And I want to tell everybody I know. So that's a good problem to have. We're grateful to be a part of your journey, however small. But we want people to find you. Can you tell us and our listeners where they can find you and how they can get more information?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to the website, which is soulriverinc.org. And you have all the information on the website, the phone numbers, contact information. You can also email me personally, which is chad@soulriverrunsdeep.com as well. And we're constantly taking donations on the website. That's an ongoing process all the time, you know. And if there's people out there who has information about grants, et cetera, we're open to hear about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking to apply. We're always looking for volunteers from many different backgrounds, anything from therapy background to working with youth, working with vets, you know, outdoor background. We're constantly looking for volunteers, and we're always looking for veterans who are looking to try something of a little different type of prescription of acting as a service to youth, you know.
Yeah.
And also we're also looking for organizations that has youth that would like to have the youth to be part of our deployments as well, you
Excellent.
Know. And so all our information is on the website. You can go there, email me, or there's a contact form you can send that will come to me. And
soulriverinc.org is where they can find more information about the nonprofit side of things.
That's right,
yeah,
soulriverinc.org.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you also want to check out soulriverrunsdeep.com, they can check out your apparel side.
Yeah,
they can
check out the apparel
yeah.
side. You know, anything you buy, you purchase on that end, you know, the, basically that model set up where 15% of sales comes into Soul River Inc. And that helps with the small stuff. It's not like major big stuff like a grant, you know, but it's pretty cool because when, you know, like when we're needing like gas or rental vans and stuff like that, that's where that comes into play. Or if a kid needs some jackets or they need extra gear, that comes into play. You know, that gives us an opportunity. But yeah.
Any last thoughts?
I'm good. I think I said it though.
All right.
Well, awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure, Chad, being able to talk with you, learning more about your organization and your company. To me, it's just fascinating. And I know, Chris, you've been friends with them for quite a while, and it's been really cool to see how the things that you do for the young people and with vets, it's really incredible. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Really appreciate having you here. It's awesome.
Thanks for listening today. Tune in next month at the intersection of ecology and enterprise at Radio Wild.